This episode is brought to you by ZocDoc.
Hi, I'm a doctor. Do not look at my reviews on ZocDoc. Just trust me, I'm a good doctor. I'm right down the street at your local strip mall, and I got my medical degree from a wizard in the forest.
Do not choose him as your doctor. No, you should choose me. I am Professor Dr. Preeclampsian. I got everything I know from ChatGPT, and I'm great at my job.
No, choose me. I'm Dr. Ding Dong.
And when I put on a lab coat, it just comes to me.
I don't have many appointments available or a receptionist.
I'm always available.
But leave a voicemail on my hotline.
I don't have a voicemail.
Or you could just use ZocDoc. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors and instantly book appointments with them online. I use ZocDoc and you should too.
Go to ZocDoc.com/Ned. And download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/net.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is a Podco original.
I don't know why you casted me, because I came in and I was like, hello, my name is Ashley, and I'm 15 years old. I was like so sad about it.
Oh my God. Yeah, we're making a show and there's a lot on the line, but like these are kids and like they need to be allowed to be kids to a certain extent.
Kiki would take naps on the couch. Oh. So they would literally like cover her head with a pillow and like move the cameras a little bit so that she could
cover her head with a pillow. Sounds like something.
Was there anything like overwhelming for you?
Yeah.
Daniel, are you just texting?
I was sending my last text. I had to.
Dude, we're here now in person.
We are here in person
with eyes and faces and
a special guest.
Rude.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the studio we have Miss Ashley Argoda.
Wow, it's everything.
Hey, that was beautiful.
Yeah, hey guys.
Hey, baby.
Hey.
Welcome to Ned's Pod. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Yes. Yeah, we were definitely talking before we started rolling, trying to suss out if we had ever met, because I feel like we have over the years.
I just feel like for some reason in the car on the way here, I was like, I think we met on Brain Surge. Did you guys do Brain Surge or no?
What's Brain Surge?
I don't think
Like a game show thing?
Yes, Brain Surge was a game. I did Brain Surge and Figure It Out was the other one that I did. So I assumed somewhere in that time we had met, but maybe we didn't.
Wait. So sorry. Was that Disney or Nickelodeon?
It was Nick, but it was like early in my Nick days, which I was
True
like,
Jackson.
It was like the first season of True Jackson, okay. And I was nervous, and it was really hard. It was like a brain teaser show, and it was really, really. Matt Shively won it like 20 million times, and like to the point where they had to be like, hey, can you throw this and actually lose so that we can get like somebody else to do it?
Wow.
Big Matt.
Yeah.
He was one of the co-stars on True Jackson as well. Yeah. You played Lulu.
I did.
Lulu?
Yes. That's right.
Nice.
It was two Lulus, yes.
It was two Lulus. Was it Lulu?
It was.
Lulu?
Yeah. Will you tell us about your True Jackson experience? Like getting on Nickelodeon? What was that like for you? Did Harriet Greenspan cast that?
No, she casted. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, she did.
She did, right?
Krisha casted us in the pilot, and then Harriet did the rest of the show.
Okay.
And we love them both so much. And then Harriet did Buck and Skinner, which is the other Nickelodeon show that I did.
Cool.
I did iCarly first. That was like my first thing I did for Nickelodeon, and I had like a cute little co-star on that. And then True Jackson was supposed to be my last audition like ever. I was supposed to like
wait, why?
Step acting. My mom was just like, I'm done with you doing this. I've been acting since I was five. So she was very much like
very much in it with you.
Yeah, she was in it with me. And it was one of those things where she was kind of like, look, I had gotten really close to, I don't remember what it was, but I think it was like a DCOM or something like that. And I got really, really close to it. And then didn't get it. And I was really devastated about it. And then True Jackson was like the next audition. And she was like, well, this is going to be your last one. I don't want you to go through this anymore. Damn. And I threw a fit. And then I went to the audition with like the puffiest, like reddest eyes you could ever have, because I was so devastated for like a comedy audition. I tell Krisha all the time, I'm like, I don't know why you casted me, because I came in and I was like, hello, my name is Ashley and I'm 15 years old. I was like so sad about it.
Oh my God. And they were like, her.
Golden.
That depressed child.
Yes.
Her.
Pretty much. And I was like so shocked that it was happening to me. But it was like, I auditioned for it and then a month went by and I didn't hear anything. And I was
never going to act again. So, time out. Walk me through the rest of this day. You get back in the car. Are you mad at mom? How long does this mood last? Like, is it over after the audition's done?
No. Like, I was devastated for weeks, because it was also like, I did that audition and then didn't hear anything for a month. Right. So I was like,
and you were praying in that week. Yeah. Like, come on. Yeah.
I was like, I biffed that audition. Yeah. Like, I'm never going to act again. Oh. And it was like, all I knew, I'd been doing it for so long. Like, I loved it so much. So it lasted for weeks. Like, I was so upset at her. I had thrown my bedroom door open, so like there was an imprint of the doorknob on my like bedroom wall. I was so mad.
Oh, that's
Like it was.
You wanted
like,
it. The universe was like, let's give her a second chance.
Yeah, and I'd gone to acting my acting coach for it like 3 or 4 times, and it wasn't even an audition I was supposed to go on. My agent didn't tell me about it. It was my acting coach who told me about it. It was all these weird things, and it just felt like such a fun role. And also it was Nickelodeon, like every kid wanted to be on Nickelodeon. Exactly. It was so fun. And man, she dropped that bomb on me. And it was the morning, she didn't even like, it wasn't even like the day before and I'll give you time to process. It was like, we're about to leave for this audition. I lived an hour and a half away from LA. Ooh. So longest car ride of my life.
Wow.
And then I get to the audition and I don't remember any of it at this point, but like I did what I did in that audition.
That's wild. Your mom got you in the car before an audition and said, hey, by the way, I'm never doing this again.
Yeah, but I mean, what a commitment
for your mom,
Let
too.
It like, yeah.
That,
oh, it's, I mean, it's the drive. Huge. The parents, this, yeah. when we're kid actors, the parents and, have, yeah. it's do, a big lift for them.
Do yeah, it was you crazy. Have siblings?
I do. I have a brother who's 11 and a half years older.
Oh, okay.
Not in the business at all. He like went to school for architecture. He like worked at the grocery store. Like very very, very separate from the arts. Yeah.
When you found out you booked True Jackson and your acting career was gonna continue, was your mom like, fuck?
No. wait, no. How did you find out? Like, what was the day like? Did you come home? Did your mom tell you?
Mom was like, hey, by the way. You booked it.
Remember
so
what
great.
I said?
So great.
No,
you better get a bus pass.
My God, longest bus ride ever. I did the network testing on a Friday, and I was hoping, I was like, oh man, maybe they'll tell me before the weekend so that I can like just know that I got this.
No.
They waited the weekend. Although later on, I found out from the creators of the show, they were like, oh, we decided like that night. They didn't tell you? I was like, no, they didn't tell me anything. We're
they
always
clocked out for the evening.
Yeah, pretty much.
You wait.
No, I thought my career was over.
Yeah, pretty much. But they my agent called me on Monday morning. I was taking a math test.
Oh.
I was in high school. And they were like, they put me on hold and like got everybody on the line.
You got pulled out of class?
I was homeschooled.
Oh,
I'd been homeschooled since seventh grade. Perfect. I went to like public elementary school, and then I was homeschooled for a little while because I toured with a show for a little while.
Got it.
So I like tried to go back to school for a little while and was like,
so difficult.
Yeah. Kids suck.
Yeah.
So as I have one in my belly.
Yeah.
Love you.
Yeah, she has a little baby.
Yes, for the people at home.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. But I'm pregnant. My whole team got on the call with me and they were like, you booked it. And I was like, my career's not over. This is great.
Suck it, Mom.
Yeah. But yeah, that was like the start of everything on Nickelodeon for me. It was such a trip to like go from this is going to be the last audition I ever do to like, oh, this is going to now
working
change my
every
life.
Day.
Yeah, welcome to years of your life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
That's wild.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And it was a good experience. I mean, I think True Jackson is really loved and you guys had a dope cast. Kiki's amazing. Yeah. Matt Shively is amazing. You're such a sweet person. Like, I know different sets have different vibes, but I feel like True Jackson was probably a vibey one.
We had a great vibe on set. We just had, I was telling you guys, we had a reunion.
A little party.
Yeah, just like... One of our prop guys like held a reunion just because he was like, I miss you guys. He did this book of like, he basically has this yellow tuxedo and has to like, he, as people are taking their continuity photos, if they're a celebrity, he'll like go up behind him and photobomb them. So, and he has 30 years of photos of this. So he created a book and like he held a True Jackson reunion. We're in the book and all of that. So we got to see, I mean, I see Shively all the time because we live a mile away from each other. So, but our crew members who I haven't seen in like years and years and years, our AD from the first season, our wardrobe people, amazing. Our real lighting bombs, people, our DP. Yeah, it was. And like those people helped helped raise me. So it was such a cool, I don't know, it was really cool to get to see everybody after all these years and like just reconnect. And like all of the kids who were babies on set are there.
Grown.
And like, they're like, yeah, I just graduated college and you know, now I'm, you know, living out in Boston. I'm like, what are you, what? No, that's not fair.
Yeah.
It's really crazy. But we had a great experience. I loved my time on that show. It was really wonderful.
Was there anything like overwhelming for you getting on set and like working as much as you were working? And was there any part of it that like,
I think, you know, we had to be in school. So that was a big one. And school in my family was like, you must get good grades. You must be good at this. You must go to college. And homeschooling was great, but it was also like, we also still lived an hour. We never moved to LA. So I still lived an hour and a half away. So our call times were 8 a.m. I had to get up at 4:30 every morning. Get ready, drive in, do the 3 hours of school, do all the rehearsal. And then a lot of times we wouldn't go home like when the day was over, even when I was done with school, because it would be traffic.
Wait for traffic.
Yeah.
Coming up from Long Beach, we did that every freaking day. And you guys were coming in from where?
I was coming in from the Inland Empire. Not
like
close.
Reno Valley area?
Redlands. Redlands. Yeah. Jeez. So very far away. So the hours, I think, were the most overwhelming. The job felt not overwhelming because I loved it so much and I loved the people so much. But man, those hours, we didn't sleep for. I became anemic on the show. I stopped eating well, and like it was because you are just like thrown into this crazy world, and you're like, you just keep going and going and going. Yeah. And I will give it to the creators of our show. Andy and Dan were very adamant about like when Nickelodeon would like schedule Kids Choice Awards plus promo plus blah, 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 like all these different things. They were like, hey, can you guys not do this days in a row so that the girls can maybe have some rest time and some just like some downtime just to go be kids? And that was really important to them. So yes, it was overwhelming, but we also had a lot of people on our side who were like rooting for us and making sure we were okay.
Yep.
This episode is brought to you by ZocDoc.
I keep missing the note, though. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Or was it? Whoa,
guys, it's getting worse.
What
is?
The rash. Yeah, it's so bad. What should I do?
Dude, you need to go to a doctor right now.
Yeah. No. It makes me uncomfortable. I don't like finding doctors.
ZocDoc
is simple and easy. You can find a doctor right now.
I don't want to do it. Just tell me, what should I do? It really hurts.
You got to sleep that one off, champ. I don't.
What?
Maybe you could get something sharp and try to just scrape off the crust?
Scrape it, yeah.
Just scrape it and sleep?
Uh-huh.
No, what should I do? It really hurts.
Put some spray paint on it.
Spray paint?
It might just be superficial. Just cover it up.
Have you tried like peeing on it? That works.
I'll use ZocDoc and find a doctor.
Stop getting medical advice from your dumb friends. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can compare highly rated in-network doctors and instantly book appointments with them online. I use ZocDoc, and you should too.
Go to ZocDoc.com/Ned and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/Ned.
Same. That's one. Scott Fellows. I still just love the fact that he was making a TV show. He was living his dream. He created a show that gets picked up. He's the showrunner. It's coming out of his brain. He's getting to talk to a young audience about what he would like to help them feel better about, right? Yeah. Like a lot on the creator. And then he never lost sight of like yeah, we're making a show and there's a lot on the line, but like these are kids and yeah. like they need to be allowed to be kids to a certain extent.
Yeah, there were times where Kiki would take naps on the couch in True's office and they didn't want to wake her up because she was tired. Aww. So they would literally like cover her head with a pillow and like move the cameras a little bit so that Aww. She could
cover her head with a pillow. Sounds like you're suffering.
Teach you to doze off again.
Not on my set.
Never sleep on this set. No, they put it. I'll say they put it on top of her head like a hat, like oh, a okay, little crown. That. But yeah, they were like, we don't want to wake her up, so we're just gonna like we'll move the cameras and stuff like that. And they did yeah. that so many times for us. They were so good to us.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so
Jackson
nice.
Was great.
And you guys, you guys got to shoot at Paramount. That's cool. They put the Ned's cool Declassified studio. At Occidental Studios in North Hollywood. Yeah. Hang a left at the nudie store, yep. go down this weird broken alley, and that's where we filmed.
Yep.
You were on historic Paramount Studios.
Yeah. Yes, where they shot Cheers Everything, and Frasier.
All Apollo 13, wow. all sorts of things, man.
Yeah, that was we were on stage 25, and oh. I think the Thundermen shot there as well.
Oh, that's so yeah. cool.
Yeah.
Occidental, Occidental didn't have air conditioning.
Oh no! I'm no, so yeah, sorry. But
had to have it installed. Had to have it installed.
Yeah, yeah.
And when we say installed, just like a huge tube running. From
yeah, there was just a tube.
Big tube that would sometimes just fall down onto set. Sometimes big yellow tube, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it was wild. So we shot first season at Sunset Gower Studios, which was great, yeah. right? And then they were like, congratulations, Ned's is doing so well. You got picked up for more episodes for second season. We're like, yay. And they're like, but you're not going to be at Sunset Gower. And we're like, where are we going to be? Nick on Sunset? And yeah. they're like, no. And we're like, Paramount? And they're like, no. And we're like, what is it? They're like, Occidental Studios, North like, Hollywood. It's huh? never been a soundstage before.
Off of Sherman Way.
Off of Sherman Way. Sherman Used Way. To be a manufacturing warehouse, loosely converted to a soundstage.
Yikes.
Loosely converted.
I feel like I filmed Incredible. Something there, not when I was on Nickelodeon. If it's the place I'm thinking of, mm-hmm. I am so sorry,
you
guys.
So you know that we, weird so street that you drive
yeah.
down
here? Yeah, you're like, am I gonna die here?
Yeah.
No, like there are moments in this industry. For me, anytime I'm on one of the old studios, like I feel it does feel
yeah.
dope. Like
yeah.
anytime I have an audition on Paramount or Sony, like WB, like it feels amazing yeah. to be there. Yeah. I'm like, this is yep. so fucking cool.
Yeah.
You feel the Occidental scope studios. Of what you're doing.
Yeah, you feel the history of yep. cinema.
And what
yeah.
did it feel like at Occidental?
Nothing. Nothing.
Occidental is the opposite of that.
Oh no.
You're not near any, there's nothing.
Yes. I think Just Jordan shot there after us too. But it was bad. Yeah,
so they used the studio again.
Yes.
Meager
right. Oh, yeah. Sons right. of Anarchy. Sons of Anarchy filmed there. The mm-hmm. their mechanic shop, like the Sons, their bike shop, the exteriors were like in our parking lot. That
Which
we
makes
at.
Sense because oh, it looks wow. just like a biker gang kind of
That's it. That's yeah. it.
Perfect yeah. location. Yep. Great. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, that shit
oh,
made
man.
Me laugh, man.
I'm Dude. So sorry. It was fine. Too cold on our set because I guess Kelsey Grammer.
Their air conditioner worked too well.
Did you Jesus. Just say it was too cold?
I, wow. Apparently, this is the story was that Kelsey Grammer was always warm when he was filming Frasier, so they put in like the special air conditioning, so we were
Brilliant.
Freezing all the time.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That's what I will need.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It Man. Was it was frigid.
We couldn't get cool.
Sorry. Did you guys shoot in the summer ever?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Did we? We would like bleed into the summer, yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
And then so the fun. Valley too.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh. Yeah, you know.
No, bueno.
No, no, bueno. No.
So
no,
funny,
no.
man.
Actually, yeah,
oh no, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, last time I saw you, and first time I actually introduced myself yeah. to you, like through all these years, was at the premiere of Kiki Palmer's
Big Boss.
Big Boss yeah. Network.
Yeah.
Which is so lit. Like, she started her own network, man. She's making amazing, like, film projects.
Yeah, we were there because she directed that entire, like, concept
and
album.
And acted in
and
it.
And acted in it.
And
she
it was
amazing.
Fire. The cinematography was dope, man. Yeah. Like, yeah, I recommend you guys check out the film.
She's so fucking cool.
She's
and
crazy
talented.
So,
and
so
cool. Much stuff.
She's cool,
cool
and
man.
She's, like, she's as kind and as nice as, mm. as you, yeah. like, think she is like
mad down to earth, bro. Super
yeah.
Cool. Oh, and she mentioned the pod too. So I haven't said hey, come on yet, but she
Kiki, come
say,
on.
Hey, I like the pod.
Hey, Kiki, come on.
I saw yeah. this clip of her during like the summer, her pod is dope too. The summer of 2020 when like LA was like blowing up with protests, like kind of during the George Floyd time, mm-hmm. I saw this clip of her talking with this cop, like, mm-hmm. and there's like a group of protesters behind her, and just the way she interacted with that man and how she tried to get him to kind of drop into some humanity, it was, I was like, Kiki, that like that's different a fucking breed. Leader. Yeah. Like you're a leader, dude. It was beautiful. That's it's incredible. That shit was moving.
She's an incredible human being. Yeah. Same.
And you guys show to me was pretty, I don't want to say just revolutionary, but there was some female empowerment elements there. Just the diversity and inclusion as well. Like you're Filipina.
I am Filipina. Yeah.
So seeing you paired with her, like that was, I liked what your show kind of stood for.
It was really interesting. I had a hard time like getting roles when I was a kid. Like nobody really knew what to do with me. Mm-hmm. There was a manager once who told me that because I had braces, I would like probably never work. And was like, well, you know, once you get those off, like the, you'll figure it out.
I had
it's all
braces
good.
Too on this.
So yeah. And I got the show. I got the show with like my hair down to my butt. Like it was so long.
Right.
And braces.
They always
like
tell you, you got to cut it. It's not.
They did. Nickelodeon did make me cut it in the second season.
Of course
they did. They took me out to a really fancy dinner in between seasons. And they were like, we like to do this with our cast members just to check in on them and like just to see what's up.
They
took me to this really fancy dinner. I think actually pretty close to here. Mm-hmm. And they were like, halfway through the dinner, they were like, so is there anything you want to see for season two? Like anything? And I was like, no, I mean, I love my job. I love my role. This is great. And they were like, so we were thinking, and they pulled out a folder of like hairstyles. And they were like, so this is what we were thinking of for you. And it was like, not like bob haircuts or anything, but they wanted me to cut my hair. And that's how they told me. They like duped me into going to this dinner.
Let's make her think she planned this. Anything you want?
We're going to make you think you matter. And then we're going to tell you to cut your hair. Damn. And they sent me to this really bougie salon in Beverly Hills. And like, it was such a big deal. We donated my hair to... I think we donated my hair to Locks for Love.
But they might have just told you that to make you feel better?
It went to Nickelodeon and I never got a certificate or anything. So I don't know. So if
your
that
locks,
ever
locks of your hair are just floating around out here.
Yeah, so, pretty much. So they're on eBay.
They've created clones out of you already.
So second season, they're making sure you look even better. They're like, let's change her hair so it's just like she looks even better. Meanwhile, I go into second season,
and they
let me have the worst fucking haircut I've ever seen. We've been rewatching second season for the pod, and I kind of forgot. I'm looking at it. I'm like, how did anyone let this kid be on TV? It's this weird, like, lopsided long. There's no shape to it.
Dang.
The bangs are weird.
Was it the Justin Bieber before it was Justin Bieber?
Yes. Yeah, but no. Justin Bieber's had a weird stylishness to it.
Fair.
Mine was...
You walked so he could run.
That's fair. Hey.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
I started the swoopy bang beebs.
Wow.
Scott Fellows just walks by and he's like, nailed it. Keeps going.
Dude, literally. Man. They were like, you look like an idiot.
Do you guys like watch the episodes back and be like, who let us go on camera like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I do the same thing sometimes too. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All my little accessories. I think I was wearing a flip-flop necklace.
Yeah.
In the last, I'm like, all those dumbass little accessories.
There was one time they gave me fork and spoon earrings. And now it looks like Lulu was doing drugs.
What made her put this on?
Who gave me these?
Fork so like, yeah.
Look how
for
quirky.
No reason. Very quirky, very fun. But like, I watched it back. My husband and I watched True Jackson during the pandemic because he'd never seen an episode. So we watched the episode. We watched the entire thing, and I would just watch it and be like, "What the hell? Like, what am I wearing? Or like, what am I doing? What is my hair doing?
Right.
What are these earrings? What are these accessories?"
Yeah.
It was wild. What a time.
Yeah. Incredible.
I wouldn't be watching the series. Like, we're going to watch every episode for this podcast. I wouldn't do that if it weren't for this podcast.
That's fair.
Sometimes I'm like, sometimes I get like real sweet nostalgia where I'm like, I remember that. And isn't this great? And then I also reach a point where I'm like, okay, that's the past. I'm done. Okay, I'm
for
done.
For sure.
It's in the
for
past
sure.
for a reason.
Yeah, definitely.
You have fucking cutie bangs for second season too, right?
They're terrible.
They're
No!
It's almost like they're a third of what bangs should be. They're just like here.
You did the micro bang before it was cool?
Oh my God, yeah, babe. Nice. I mean, they were long, but it's like
It was so thin here and so much here.
Oh, no.
Did
Nickelodeon tell you to do this? Or, oh, yeah.
Did they? That was a Nickelodeon said, get bangs, bitch.
Well, one, I think they were exact words. You can cut your hair.
Oh, so like her, they're like, you can and
wait,
your hair.
There's a folder. I self-inflict those bangs upon myself.
Bangs are always self-inflicted. I'm sorry. Every woman in my life goes through a time where they get bangs that they decided on, and then they have a mental breakdown because they chose to get bangs. Can you guys explain this to me? What?
I can't because I've never had bangs.
I know. You've never had the mental breakdown of giving your...
No, I've had a mental breakdown, but it wasn't that I didn't do bangs.
I had a menti B, not over those bangs.
I had a menti B.
Yeah.
I like making menti it B, cute, right?
It sounds refreshing. Menti B.
Yeah.
Oh, I've had a couple menti Bs.
Okay, so you say husband. Tell me, I want to know everything. How'd you meet him?
Wow,
how did he propose?
Oh,
how did he put that baby in you?
Well, when two people
we're
love each other very
details,
much.
We're talking details, Ashley.
Two people love each other.
Sorry in advance, honey. We met, I was doing a show at this place called Rockwell Table and Stage.
Mm-hmm. Performing.
I was performing live.
Jordan Ross?
I know Jordan Ross, but I was not doing his show. Okay. We used to do unauthorized musical parodies of movies, TV shows.
That's right.
Jordan did like Cruel Intentions and stuff like that. I, at the time, was doing Mean Girls.
Mm.
And another like super, you know, this was all fake kind of story. I was an understudy and I had my last day the week before my husband came to the show. So they called me 3 hours before the show the next week and they were like, hey, the normal Regina can't come in. Like, can you come in? And I... Listen, this is regional theater, so like I'm bringing my own, like my own clothes,
right,
my own shoes.
Right.
I brought
there's
all
no
my
money
shit home. Yeah. No, there's mm-hmm. no,
right.
So I brought all my shit home, and they called, and I was like, I don't really want to go. I don't want to do this. I don't want to go. And then I don't know what in me was like, just go do the fucking show. Like, go perform. It's fine. You can do this one more time. These are your friends. And I went and did the show, and he was in the audience that night. And yeah, and he sat with a friend of mine, and I did not, I was like not interested. I hadn't dated anybody in 3 years. I had one real relationship before that, and I was like, never fucking again.
Oh.
Fuck, man. Like, I'm done. I'm good. I was really, really happy on my own. And he didn't come to the show like with my friend to you know,
find a wife
or like to meet anybody. And he was there. He didn't say anything to me after the show. I asked him if he liked the show and he said it was good. And that was the only thing he said to me that night. And I was like, oh, what a dud. Like, he doesn't talk, like, gross, whatever. And everybody kept saying that night, I think he has a crush on you. And I think that's why he didn't talk to you. And he came back a few months later when we were doing the unauthorized musical parody of Bridesmaids.
Months?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. We had a couple of mutual friends. So he came with a different friend this time and I hugged him at intermission. I got really nervous that day because I knew he was coming. And again, I had only spoken like three sentences to this man in my whole life. Hmm. And I got really nervous and I just like I saw him at intermission and this is not like a conventional theater. So we're like walking around during intermission. We can see people. We can hang out with the audience. And I gave him a big hug and I was like, oh, my God, hi. Great to see you. And he took that as like, oh, sick, she remembers me. And I was just so nervous that I didn't know what to do with myself. And I just like gave him a panic hug and was like, all right, gotta get back to the show. See you later. So he was brave enough to ask for my number that night.
Nice. Good man.
I say it all the time. I'm like, I never would have like gone for this if you didn't say anything in the first place. Like I would have just been like, oh yeah, he's really cute. And I would have just left it alone. But he was like, he asked for my number and he had read, I think it was Aziz Ansari who wrote a book. It was like 7 texts or less. And it was about like he'd read that you should, if you want something, you should try and get it in 7 texts or less. So he texted me the next morning. He was like, you were so great. I had so much fun last night. And I said, I can't wait for you to see Hocus Pocus. And he was like, I can't wait either. I actually really can't wait. I'd love to go out with you next week. And this was in a bar, Rockwell Table and Stage. Was a bar.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there were many people who came to shows. There were people who were like, I love your number. And I gave them fake numbers all the time. I gave this man my real number and I don't know why still. We went out the next week. I tried to cancel it. I texted my best friend. I was like, I think I'm going to cancel. I think like, I really think this is not going to be it for me. I don't want this. I don't want to go on a date. And she was like, just go on the date. You're not going to marry the guy. And I was like, all right. And then we both planned on spending an hour there. We spent 5 hours there. We went to the Intercontinental, like the bar, the rooftop bar at the Intercontinental. Yeah, it's fantastic up there. It's really beautiful.
Never been. Damn.
Yeah. It's so beautiful. And I'm a huge sports fan. I'm a huge Lakers fan. And we were sitting like right where Staples Center was. So we talked about that. He's also a huge sports fan. And we ended up just really connecting. And then our second date, I'd mentioned in our first date, I've always wanted to go ballroom dancing. And he said, I used to competitive waltz. And then he texted me the next day and he said, I scheduled a dance class for us next week if you're interested. I know.
Hey. Devin.
This is a lot. It's a lot.
Maybe pick up some tips, Devin.
No, because you know what's so just like about this is because I don't think I've ever met one of these men in real life.
No, I know.
And so it's like, they exist? This isn't just in movies? Grab their fucking nuts and
are you good?
Whoa, that's our show.
Way forward.
That's our show, guys. That's our show. No tips today.
No, I know.
You can put in effort and not just hang on the couch.
I still say all the time, like, men aren't shit except for my man. Like, he is everything.
Thank you. He made lessons. He did, because he remembered what you said.
He did, and it was a private lesson. I did not know it was a private lesson. I thought we were walking into a class. It was a private waltzing lesson.
No Groupon here.
No Groupon, baby. He like, and he knew I lived in the Valley, so he was like, "Oh, I found a studio that's really close to you. I'll come and pick you up."
Oh, he did the work.
Hey.
And then he drove me home that night. The street was empty in front of my apartment, so he waltzed with me in the street in front of my apartment, and then we had our first kiss, and then we spent every day together. So
whoa! Yeah. Those are some shoes to fill. I cannot show my girl this episode.
It's a lot.
Wait, and so when you saw him like dance, was it impressive?
Yeah, I was really impressed. He was like a competitive waltz. I was like, okay. Started dancing, and he was like, no, I know the box step. Like, I know the
one,
I know
two,
like
three, one, two.
Yeah, hey. And it's really harder than it looks. I danced when I was a kid, and like I still had a hard time picking it up. And it was so natural to him. And then I guess he had to have told the instructor that we were on a date because the instructor ended the class with salsa dancing.
So
we had like a little fun.
I recently did one of those.
Yeah. And that's also harder than it looks. So we got a little hip action in there.
Nice.
It was really cute. And then, we had that moment in the street.
You kissed. And then when you pulled apart, were you both like, oh my God, we know how magical that was?
Yes. He says that when we had our first kiss, he was imagining ourselves like together sitting on a porch in rocking chairs as like old people.
Oh, hey, my guy, you're making it too hard out here.
I can't look at goosebumps. Straight up goosebumps.
Lindsay has actual goosebumps.
Oh my god.
That's a lot.
It was so great having you on, but this episode can't air because Daniel can't show this to his girlfriend.
I'm so sorry.
That is so freaking
I invited her. Great. Why did I do this?
And so, okay, I can't even imagine what the freaking proposal was like. Like, how long were you together before you proposed?
So he was like, that night I knew I wanted to marry you, pretty much. But we moved in together a few months later, and then we dated for...
Oh, are those tears? Oh no!
It's so sweet.
This is the Bachelor before your very eyes.
I know.
No, don't apologize for your amazing love story. Are you kidding me? It's fantastic.
This is awesome.
I'm just fucking with you.
Oh my god!
The hope and the care. Yeah. Is just like
he waited 2 years to propose to me. We knew we wanted to get married. We had talked about it. We talked about our whole lives together. We moved in together, and then 2 years later, on our 2 year anniversary, he proposed at the Intercontinental in the same spot that we had our first date.
Was it 71 and above?
Is yes, that the it's Spire 73. Yeah,
oh, Spire 73. I love that spot.
They were so great. He spent 9 months planning the proposal.
I was going to say, you only know somebody when you know them through all the seasons first, right? Yep. So that first year is just like, all right, that's the base. You know what I'm saying? And then the next year is like...
And we moved in together very quickly. Right. Like it was, he asked me after 3 months and we moved in together after 6 months. Oof. So we were like, make this is what we want. Like mm-hmm.
Was this COVID? Was this before?
It was, so he proposed in September of 2019 and then COVID happened. So mm-hmm.
Y'all survived the COVID. That's a real
listen,
one.
We got through COVID and we were like, we can get through anything. Oh. For real. Yeah. Wedding planning during COVID was the craziest.
Maintaining hope for the future is crazy.
Genuinely. Like, it was so.
Getting out of bed during COVID was tough, man.
It started out with us just kind of like, you know, for so long, we were like, oh, it's only 2 weeks. So, like, no big deal. Right. And then we also said, like, oh, we're going to take time planning our wedding. We don't need to worry about it. Like, we'll take our time. We'll take our time.
Don't think.
And we were like, yo, it's been, like, we've been in this house forever.
2 years?
So we started planning during COVID, and then we ended up having to move the wedding. We dated for 2 years. We were engaged for 2 years. We were married for 2 years, and now we're having a baby. So,
The power of twos.
That yeah, to the be power working. Of twos.
Lindsay, I gotta ask. You've had tears in your eyes for this whole love share. That is that out of hope for what could be, or loss at what isn't.
Wow,
that's a
way to break it down like the U.S. government. Is it this very thin thing, or is it this other very slight thing? And there's only two. No, but honestly, just.
Oh, dear.
I just feel like I can appreciate these stories now because I've gotten like a glimpse of what that little feeling is. But I've always kind of been a sucker for like people getting to know each other and what attracted them. Like, I'm so about love stories. Yeah. I love to hear them. I'm the one at the wedding where even if I don't know the person that well, I am a puddle as they walk down the aisle. Just because
you believe,
like,
in true love.
The hope, the hope that's there. Everybody's moving towards this thing. Like, they're so vulnerable. I don't know. And like, it's like this beautiful thing for you now. It's part of your life. You have this baby. All of it is just so big and like lovely.
Thank you. I mean, please don't get me wrong. I had to go through a lot to get to this
of
guy.
Of course. Yeah. All of that.
The one I dated before him was right. Not. Again, right. Didn't date for 3 years.
But you found like, each other. And you both recognize that. It's just a cool, like, just a cool.
No, that's great.
No, it's And for anybody wondering, he also said at the beginning of that year, I'm not dating. He was like, I'm going to be single. I think he said for a year, I'm going to be single. And I met him 5 months into that. So
he's like, single was good. Her.
Single was good.
Single yes.
Was single good. Was also good.
Was
yes.
Good. Yes. It was good. I'm done with this shit. Let me give you the most romantic second date anyone's ever had.
Dear God. He just flipped it on. That's also just such like a romantic fantasy type thing. Like when, you know, totally. When they actually bring that to life, it's like.
It felt like a Disney movie. Yeah. It felt like the ending of a Disney movie. Where
I'm
like,
literally picturing you guys waltzing in the street.
Yeah.
No, that is true fire. That's great.
It was great.
Let me share an accidental, unbelievably romantic date I took this girl on. This was 10 years ago. This is forever ago. And this was maybe a second or third date.
Okay.
This was an accidentally, unbelievably romantic date. So. there was gonna be, we didn't know. We were just gonna go to Malibu. We were just gonna go to the beach. Like, hey, let's go to the beach. Let's like set up some fucking blankets. Let's stay for like sunset into the evening, right? Gonna be cool. I was getting to know her. We go out to Zuma. It's great. We didn't know it, but that night was a meteor shower. Nice. And we didn't know it. So all of a sudden, we're laying down, and I'm seeing more shooting stars than I've ever seen in my life.
Girl, you
and
got it's me like, feeling these feels.
And it's like, no, I'll tell you how it went. So we're seeing these shooting stars. It's like, oh, my God, this is fucking amazing. I need to pee, so there's no bathroom, so I go to, like, pee in the ocean. As I'm stepping, the ground is glowing blue. There was the bioluminescence.
Oh, my
God. Like, the ground's literally glowing blue. There's shooting stars falling out of the sky. I didn't mean for this date to be that goddamn romantic.
Oh.
I feel like for her, she had the moment you were having on your date, which was like, which was like, this is meant to be. This is divine. Oh, no. Meanwhile, my ass at the time, like, I liked her.
You were done with her after that Malibu hang.
I liked her. I loved her, but I was just more like, wow, isn't the universe amazing? And she was like, aren't we amazing?
How long did you date this person after that happened?
We had a weird on and off thing for like a year and change.
When you
not weird. We had a good thing for a while and then an kind of on again, off again thing for a couple months.
When you guys did get back together, was it was this date referenced ever?
Was she
ever like, don't you remember that time?
Oh no, totally.
You have to, yeah.
Oh no, totally.
Yeah.
Look, that shit was magical. We counted that.
You can't tell me this isn't real.
You remember, right?
Oh no, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Oh my God. My first question was going to be like, why have you ever like tried to repeat this date? But that you literally can't repeat
that's
that.
Once in a lifetime.
Dude, bioluminescence and a meteor shower at the same time that we didn't plan for? Unbelievable.
No.
Wow.
That will probably never happen to you again.
No, probably not. Couldn't do it if I tried.
Is that why you didn't try? Choose not to put any intention into things?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Oh. The universe works it out
for you. It'll do it for me.
Isn't it great?
It'll do it for me.
Oh, wow.
No, look, I put immense intention and love and effort into my last relationship, and that was 5 years ago, and I haven't done it again.
Dang.
And there you go.
You see what I'm saying?
You're probably going to meet your spouse very soon.
It sounds like it, yeah. Because it's similar to, it parallels the story with your mom. Like, look, we are never doing this again.
Literally.
And then, that's the one.
She really didn't want to drive you that day because she was letting you know early.
There were tears in her mom's eyes when she found out she booked True Jackson. She's like,
damn it.
That's great.
It all happened.
Mom, it's happening for me. And she's like,
No.
I have to fucking drive on the 10.
The 10 freeway is terrible.
In her defense, the 10 freeway was actually awful. The fucking worst.
Isn't it? Wasn't it shut down after, like, recently, after the rains and stuff?
Yeah.
There was a fire underneath the town a couple months ago
that shut it down.
Yeah.
In downtown.
For structural damage.
The thing, like, caught fire.
It was a pallet fire.
Right.
Under it. It was the flames were coming up. Yeah, no.
That's insane.
They had to check its structural integrity. Cooking the freeway bridge.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
There was one time I was really late to work for a theater show, and my mom drove on the shoulder of the freyway the entire time on the 10 to get me to.
Hey, your mom's a badass.
Good job.
Your mom's
badass. Good job, mom.
Commitment.
We also used to have a Barbie, like a life size Barbie when I was a kid. And
from the HOV lane?
Yeah.
Because
I'm confessing to some illegal shit.
Yes. Confess your crimes.
There's a part of the 10 that you have to have three people, and it was always the most congested part of the 10. So we would put a hoodie on my life-size Barbie and put her in the back seat.
We would just put it on our seat, but a life-size Barbie, that's way more convincing.
We put the heaty on the seat.
Yeah, man. And sometimes we put like a little cap just to.
Dear God.
Yeah. And you just
sometimes
like say
you
a
put
prayer
a corn cob
like...
pipe in his mouth.
That'd be great. A lit cigarette. The car catches on fire.
The smoke is actually coming out of it.
Dude, my car has no tint, and I've thought about it. Sometimes that traffic is so bad, I'm like, I really want to get in a fucking HOV lane, but my car has no tint. There's no mistaking that anyone else is in there.
Once the traffic is too bad, I don't care. I'm getting in that. High occupancy or not, I'm getting in the HOV. I'm sorry.
I got bodies in the trunk. That dude. I want to talk to you forever.
I want more
stories. What a great uplifting episode.
Oh my god, there's
hope in the world. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's great.
No, I think you're literally giving many romantics out there in the world hope that it's possible.
I'm holding you and your family in this beautiful vision.
Yeah, and for our jaded millennial hearts, we need your medicine.
I was there with you guys though. I was jaded. I was like, I don't. This is never gonna happen for me. And then I still don't understand or know how, but it happened.
Wait. Just lastly, question. Yeah. Do you have any possible names for baby boy?
Mm. Yes.
Do you want to share?
Oh, I don't mind sharing at all. He's going to be a junior of my husband. Oh. So Michael Harrison Torres Jr.
Oh. Can you say it one more time for the...
Michael Harrison Torres Jr.
Oh,
and that's an exclusive.
We love to see it.
Also, before we wrap up, what are you most excited about that you're creating right now, other than life and your
baby?
Other than
bones and like a kidney.
Yep.
My husband and I write together, so we wrote our first screenplay during the pandemic, which was fantastic. Wow.
What genre?
It is a drama. It is actually based on the true story of what happened to me and my mom. For as wonderful as like all the things that she did for me growing up, she was also very abusive and very manipulative. So we ended up writing that story in movie form, which was very weird and therapeutic. And thank God I worked on it with my husband because he was such a like good presence for me to have there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we started our production company and our podcast around the same time and wrote that screenplay. And we just finished our second one that we're going to end up shooting at the end of the year because I'm not busy enough with a baby in my tummy. I wanted to. There's a lot of people who are like, oh, you're pregnant, so you're just never going to work again. And I'm like, it's 2024. Like, what the hell are you talking about?
Actresses, producers, directors, literally, our moms? What?
Like, what are you talking about? Right? And it's like, gotten it more than you think somebody
would. No, it makes sense.
Wow. So,
it makes sense.
Yeah,
misogyny is alive and well.
It truly is. And like a lot of unsolicited advice to anybody out there who's talking to a pregnant person at the time, don't
shut the fuck up.
Your job is over. Stop projecting.
Literally, don't
shut up.
I know my life will change. I get it. Thank you.
wait, what's the exact due date?
June 20th.
June 20th.
Was that Cancer. Gemini?
That's right on the cusp. Right. No, it's right on the cusp.
Yeah. So,
or that's still in Gemini.
Usually, the 21st first baby's 24. Late, so we're thinking it's going to be a Cancer baby, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, because I think you're right on the last day of Gemini.
Yeah, we'll see. But we wrote a screenplay that is just the two of us acting in it.
Oh, amazing!
So, yeah, awesome. So we like have all the creative control over it. Like we're getting a production company involved and like funding for it and stuff like that.
Awesome.
So we will. My mother-in-law is a saint. She's going to watch the baby while we're filming, and we're just going to film it at the end of the year and start doing our own stuff.
It's fucking awesome.
Holy moly. Thanks.
We kind of have it now with the podcast. I just love seeing like which of us who still love this industry and this business that started really young start to take it on our own shoulder. It's the path all of us must take.
Yeah.
We're not in what it used to be, which was like waiting for the door to open for us. Like you just literally can't these days.
I didn't understand it when I was a kid at all. Yeah,
neither.
Why would I write? I'm an actor. Like this is crazy. And then I ended up doing it and loving it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, God, I should have started this earlier.
That's what I found. The more I've pushed into those spaces, like I actually love it. I'm like, why wasn't I doing this at fucking 18?
Instead of just sitting here and complaining, like all the auditions that I get are all like, I get to be the best friend or like the secondary character. Like I can just write roles that make me happy.
Rather than me just getting frustrated that Matt Shively books every role I audition for, Matt Shively.
Love you, Maddie.
I could have been writing my own shit. Yeah, no, I love you, Matt.
You should write your own thing. You should have Shively audition for it.
And reject him.
Hey, we just wanted to call and say you didn't get it.
You didn't get it. You were perfect and hilarious. You didn't get it.
Honestly, you'd probably appreciate the dedication.
Yeah.
So,
It's all going to be a sham just to rub it in his face.
Yeah, why not?
Love you, Shively. Anyways, I love everything you have going on. Thanks for coming here. We like to end our episodes with a tip to the audience about anything.
Oh, man. A tip about anything.
Yeah. Anything we talked about, whatever.
Don't give up on true love.
Oh.
It exists. Just to end on a positive note. It really does exist. Even if you don't think it does, be patient. It does.
Don't give up, Lindsay.
I won't. I won't, Deb. I'm going to go and say, if you are able, take a vacation for 27 days.
Yeah, do that.
I mean, if that's able, if you're able to like put all of those vacation, whatever, that sounds amazing. Because to travel somewhere is so much upheaval and change like at first. So like, I swear to God, I would need like a good week to be like, hey, I'm good. And now I can enjoy it.
Yeah, we were also going halfway across the world.
Exactly.
So it was like, I'm not spending a week here. Right. I'll barely get over the jet lag. So we did it up.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that.
I love that.
You got one?
A tip for me, I will say for those of you in relationships, try something new with your partner. It could be like a skill or dancing. Like I know your guy already was great at it. but yeah, it's fun to try new things and both look even stupid learning something that you both don't know and getting through it together. It's a nice little
flip energy. It in reverse.
Oh, just try a new little pose of Sean. Change position.
There you go.
New position.
Flip it in reverse. Flip it in reverse. Flip it in reverse. Hey,
That side of the table is lit.
Oh, we lit over here.
I wasn't going to interrupt. What are you guys doing?
Have you ever had
hands before?
Well, these are new.
What?
What are these?
Oh, my goodness.
My tip is I thought this cup was empty when I poured my Diet Coke in it, but it still had some of my cold brew in it. So
ew!
This has been a Diet Coke cold brew, and my tip is not as bad as you'd think.
Worse. Ugh.
Not as bad as you'd think.
You find a way to horrify me more every day.
Not as bad as you'd think. It's cold brew Diet Coke. Listen, guys, thanks for being here. Ashley Argota, go follow her the things. Look out for her future movies and future children, but don't talk to her or her baby.
Right.
Leave her alone.
Correct.
But follow her on socials.
Yep.
Ned's Pod Extras dropping on Fridays.
Audio
That's
pods.
Our extra audio pods.
Run it.
Where we hear your guys' voice memos. We actually respond to your voices. It has been so amazing.
And we rate your voices.
Oh, we do.
Yeah.
We do. Some of you, not so great voices.
No, some of them have voices that you just want to fall into, and other ones you just admire from afar.
That's
both
fair.
Perfect. Some are like a tall building, others are like a warm biscuit.
Yeah, robust.
You know? Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So go check those out. Love you. See you next week.
Peace.
Bye.
Thanks for watching this week's episode.
Special
shout out. Is it time for.
Super Friends Dance!
Thank you for being patrons.
Thank
we
you.
Love you. Special shout out. Thanks for making this this podcast possible. Go to patreon.com/nedspod if you want more from
us
and to support us. We love you.
Love
Thank you.
See you next week.
Bye.